Good morning, everyone. It is a great joy once again to be in the house of the Lord. Please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We come again to verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. This is our second installment here in this verse. We have learned last week, and the Lord has moved our hearts most into confession and mostly in assurance that we are the children of God. We have peace with Him. And I'm going to read again from verse 1 to verse 9. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 to 9. Seeing the crowd, He went up on the mountain. And when He sat down, His disciples came to Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word. May He write His eternal truth upon our hearts. May we all bow down as I pray. Father in heaven, we are glad, Lord, to assemble together as Your people today. We are glad, Lord, to assemble together to sing You praises, to read Your word. So we pray, Lord, that the gospel arrows prepared this morning, that it will be directed straight to our hearts. We pray that Your word may speak to us, that we may be convicted and convinced of sin, that we may be pointed to Jesus Christ's truth through the preaching of Your word. Work in our hearts, our wonderful God. Remind us again who we are. The peacemakers, the sons of God. We ask all this in the name of Your Son, that we may have peace with God, peace with one another, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Be with us this morning, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we have seen that for almost as long as human beings have been around and have lived together, our world has been characterized by conflict and disorder and disharmony and violence. Our world has been characterized by sin and indeed the hatred of God. We have seen last week that because of that great conflict which took place, which happened in Genesis chapter 3, man is without peace with God. Man is without peace with one another, and indeed no peace of God within the heart of man. Because of sin, a curse was pronounced between the devil and humanity. But above that, because of sin, a separation was also pronounced between God and His creation, God and His creator, man. There was that split, as it were, between God and man. All of that, it was because of sin. There was an immediate enmity between God and man, between humanity and His creator. And we have realized that that separation was to be accomplished by a seed of a woman, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that the scripture tells us that this was fulfilled in Christ Jesus Himself, who lived in this world, who came down from heaven and took a form of a man and humbled Himself before God. And He was obedient even to the death of the cross. The scripture tells us that He is the one who then came into this world to bring man from one direction and God from the other direction and bring these people together, and that they may have peace with God. The scripture tells us that by the blood of His cross, He has made peace between man and God. And I can repeat, my friends, that if you are here this morning, outside this Lord Jesus Christ, you are still under the wrath of God. You need to flee for your life. You need to flee to Him in faith and repentance. So what we are going to look at this morning, we are going to look at those who have that change in heart. Those who already have the peace with God, peace with one another, and the peace of God is sitting deep, is indwelling them in the heart. We are going to look at those who are now looking at their old lives and say, that is not who I am any longer. I am a new creation. I'm in Christ Jesus. I am free. All things has passed away. I am washed by the precious blood of the Son of God. Jesus Christ has opened my eyes. Now I can see. I have the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. The question that remains then, how can we see men and women striving to live to the pattern of peace? How can we see men and women coming to God that they may also have peace? These people are making noise out there as we worship God. How can they come to experience this peace of God which me and you now have experienced? Now that I have peace with God, what is the influence? What is the influence of that peace upon my life? Now that I have peace with God, what ought to be the effect of that peace in my entire life, in my day-to-day living? What is it that's supposed to spring forth from me as an influence to the world, influenced by Christ who influenced my life? And I think that is what we see in this text this morning. That the peace of the cross has made peacemakers. The peace of the cross creates peacemakers. That is what we see. So Jesus Christ saves us. He unites us with God. Unites us with one another. Lavish us with the peace of God within our hearts. Not only that we may sit around and say, glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah, I am saved and I am free. But for the purpose that we may also be peacemakers. So the peace of God creates peacemakers. That is a big word, peacemakers, because we're living in a world where there are a lot of people who claim to be peacemakers. We have our deputy president, Cyril Ramaphosa, is going up and down to Lesotho trying to make peace between the Lesothos. Other people are in meetings in Nigeria trying to make peace. The president of America, the US president, is going around the world. He was here in Africa not long ago, speaking words of peace. That's why the Bible says people will just say peace, peace, peace where there is no peace. So people are there claiming to be peacemakers, reconciling things politically, reconciling things socially, and advising us to accept even the things that God will not accept. So how can we identify true peacemakers if there are so many peacemakers in this world? What is it that will set the true peacemakers apart from this false peacemaking and these false peacemakers of this world? Firstly, we identify true peacemakers by their unique ministry. They have a unique ministry. That's the first point. We have a unique ministry. Verse 9 says, they are the blessed peacemakers. In other words, His peace has affected them to become peacemakers after that ultimate peacemaker who Himself is Jesus Christ, the God of all gods. They have the ministry of reconciliation. Our ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. Reconciling a sinful man with the Holy God. As the Bible says, people are known or identified or recognized by their works. We know that. Your works tell us of who you are. So it is with us as well. The idea then is that the peacemakers, they carry a message of peace to people. But not the peace of the world, the peace of God. That is what sets the peacemakers apart. They obey the commandment of God, the commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. saying in Matthew 28, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you till the end of the age." They observe and respect that. That is what they carry out to the world. They go forth to tell the world that God is willing to forgive sinners their sins, to reconcile sinners to Himself through His Son. Our message has Jesus' name and character in the center. God is willing to reconcile sinners with His Son. Their ministry is to tell the world that the burden of sin, which weigh heavy upon sinners out there, which weigh heavy upon the hearts of men, can be lifted off the sinner. That is the message. That's what the peacemakers are taking to the world. Sin is now covered because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For our sake, God made Him who knew no sin. He made Him sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. But as you think of that, I want to just mention that this message of peacemaking, this message of reconciliation, as the peacemakers carries this message to the world, is in twofold. First, it is a ministry of faithful living. The ministry of the peacemakers is a ministry of faithful living. To be characterized by a good life. What is a good life? Is a good life the same life as the life of Donald Trump? No. What is good life? Good life is a life that is good according to the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is good life. So our life is characterized by good life. The life of Christ in us. So the peacemaker watches his life or her life. He doesn't allow his life to be a snare to those around him, to become a snare unto others. He is a peaceable person, not a person full of quarrels, not a person full of war, a person full of wrath. He is an example in the world, a faithful living. His life is not surrounded by chaos and disorder. He desires to glorify God in all that he does. Therefore, he uses his tongue not to curse, he uses his tongue not to gossip, not to speak reckless words and lies. He uses his tongue to bless. He walks as Christ walked, and he has compassion unto others. Listen to what the Apostle Peter says, speaking to the church, speaking to the peacemakers, speaking to you if you are born of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. Listen to what the Apostle is saying, addressing the peacemakers. Verse 12. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and then glorify God on the day of visitation. Guess who was listening to Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount? It is Peter. Because this verse is exactly as what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Sorry, chapter 5, verse 16. That we need to live a life that glorifies God, so that when people see, then they give glory to God. So according to the Apostle Peter, our excellent living may serve to convert sinners unto God. Did you know that? Your life can serve to convert others to Christ. So the message is very simple, my friend. The unbelief that is within the heart of man can turn to belief as men or people behold your faithful life that you live in the name of Jesus. As they behold your truthful life that you live among people in your home or wherever you are, they can be turned. The unbelieving wife can turn to be a believer when the husband treats the unbelieving wife as one who is part of his body. The unbelieving husband will see and be touched by the godliness of the wife. The ministry of reconciliation speaks of faithful living. But not only that. Not only by faithful living, but also by the ministry of the gospel. What comes out of their mouth, what they bring among the people where they are. The ministry of reconciliation itself, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how you identify the peacemakers from the things that they speak. They personify Jesus Christ, the peacemaker, the Prince of Peace himself, who went throughout all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God, healing every kind of disease, every kind of affliction among the people. He went to proclaim the gospel of Jesus, of God unto the people. The Bible says that he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom of God. So the peacemakers can be identified by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of repentance. So we must proclaim that there is a Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He who was born under the law, born of the woman, that he might be sinless, so that he may keep the law of God, which me and you breaks each and every day of our life. The perfect sacrifice whom God said, "This is my Son in whom I am pleased." The perfect sacrifice that came from heaven, who has perfectly met all the requirements of the law. And now he is ready to give to the world his righteousness through me and you as his peacemakers, as those who carry the gospel of peace to the world. He is ready to reconcile men to himself. But it will take the peacemakers to go and speak and preach the message that he laid his life upon the cross and shed his blood for people who believe in him, so that they may stand right before God. He reconciles sinful men to a holy God. What a glorious Savior, bringing God and man together by his blood. That is why the Bible says, "Therefore then, there is now no condemnation unto them who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set them free from the law of sin and death." And therefore, being justified by faith is peace with God. That is the message. That is the ministry of reconciliation. Through his death, we are snatched from the garbage of sin unto his marvelous light. Through his death, we are snatched from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. Because of his obedience to God and his willingness to die for sinners, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, a knee that is on earth or under the earth or in heaven. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God, to the glory of the Father. Therefore, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And whosoever then shall call upon the name of Jesus will be saved. So seek the Lord while he is still near. Call upon him while he may be found. That is our message. That is the ministry of reconciliation. That is the assignment of the peacemakers, standing in a gap, bringing sinners to this forgiving and glorious God through the preaching of his word and good conducts. The preaching of the word of God must come with good conducts. The vessel that brings this message of peace must also be a vessel that is washed by the same peace of God from within, so that the peace that springs forth from the vessel can really be peace that will change the hearts of men. Reconciling men with God by the message of Jesus Christ. We identify true peacemakers by their conducts, by the message. In other words, we recognize them by the ministry of reconciliation. A question: how is your conduct? How do you live among the people? As Apostle Peter says, keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable. Are your conduct among the Gentiles
honorable? How do you live your life? Can you be identified as a peacemaker? Does the people at work, where you work, they see you? Do they see you as a peacemaker? Does the people around here in Oliver know you as a peacemaker? Or maybe a peacebreaker? Wherever you go, there is chaos and disorder. Whatever you say, people end up in clashes. How is your conduct? What is it that comes out of your mouth? Friends, bad conducts are a failure before God from a Christian. Bad conducts are sinful. Bad conducts calls for repentance, calls for confession. Listen to what the apostle says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. Speaking of bad conducts, put off your old self, which belonged to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Put off the old manner of life, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God. There is a new self and there is an old self. The life that we used to live in the past, the manner of life of the past, in the darkness where we come from. What is the apostle saying? In the matter of conduct, in the matter of being a peacemaker, in the matter of being a Christian, put off. That is what God is expecting from the peacemakers. Philippians 2, verse 14 to 15. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of the crooked and twisted generation. There is a twisted, crooked generation out there looking unto us. How is your conduct? What kind of a peacemaker are you? The peacemakers first are identified with the ministry of reconciliation, which is in twofold: faithful living, the gospel of peace that comes from their mouth. But not only are they identified with the ministry of reconciliation, secondly, the peacemakers are identified by their unique relationship with God. They have a unique relationship with God. They share a relationship with God that no other man in the world shares. They are the blessed children of the kingdom of God. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We have read that. They shall be comforted. They shall inherit the earth. They shall be satisfied. They shall receive mercy. They shall see God. And now, Jesus says, they shall be called the sons of God. That is a unique relationship to God, to be called a son of God. The son of God are those who are separated from the world of sin. They are not part of the evil system of the devil. They do not go out there to look for worldly woman who looks good and beautiful and then marry them. They marry in the Lord. They are the sons of God. They don't come to church and marry women who are just churchgoers, but those who have a true regenerated heart. They are the sons of God. They have got the character of God. They are choosy. Just as God is, He calls His people my children, and He calls those who are not His people the children of the devil. I will read for you. The sons of God, they are identified because they have the likeness and the character of God. The peacemakers, they are identified by this unique relationship with God. Listen to what the Bible says in Luke chapter 20, verse 36. Because the sons of God are the sons of regeneration. That's what brings them together with God. They are the sons of regeneration. Luke 20, verse 36 says, for they cannot die anymore, because they are equal to angels. They are sons of God, being sons of regeneration. This is a point whereby Jesus Christ was talking to the people that after we pass on from this world, the sons of God, they will be like angels. But he says it is because they are the sons of regeneration. That's the point I wanted to bring to you. But friends, we know for sure that there are many people out there who insist to be called the sons of God. There are those who slaughter other people in the name of religion. They want to be called sons of God. There are those who hate Jesus and they hate the Bible, but they want to be called the sons of God. If you don't believe me, go to these false churches, tell them you are not the sons of God. Ask me, then I will pick you up because they will stone you to death. People want to be called sons of God when they are not. There are those who want to be called sons of God, but they are not united with the Lord Jesus Christ. They reject him day by day. They continue in rebellion, disobedience, and wicked lives after claiming to have fellowship with God. Some of them, they were with us. After claiming to have a fellowship with God, they continue in rebellion. They continue in disobedience. They continue in their works of wickedness, the works of darkness. But they want to be called the sons of God. Go tell them they are not the sons of God. Let me know what happened to you. So we are living in a world where to be called the sons of God is actually an honor to the people who are not the sons of God. But friends, we are the sons of God. The message is very clear this morning to both Jews and Gentiles. There is no other name given to us as men in which we shall be called the sons of God, but only through faith, genuine faith and repentance, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ who was nailed on the cross for the sins of the world. Those are the sons of God. Not just anyone. The sons of God. We can only be the sons of God through faith in him. We can only be the sons of God through the forgiveness of sin, which comes as a result of acknowledging your sin and confessing your sin. These are the two things that we need you to learn, brothers and sisters. Acknowledging sin. Lord, I have sinned. Confessing sin. To acknowledge it. To know it. To be aware. To admit. And then confess. To cleanse yourself from this sin. To speak it out of your life. Asking Jesus Christ to forgive you. Those are the sons of God. These are the peacemakers. They have a life in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how the Jews thought they were the children of God? How they thought they were the sons of God? They thought they needed no transformation within their hearts. You remember when Jesus Christ speaks to them? He says they will destroy the body of Jesus, but Jesus will build it up in 3 days. And he's saying to them, they are not free. Then they say to him, no, we are free. We are the sons of Abraham. We are free. Jesus said, no, you are not free. Unless the Son set you free. Only then you can be free indeed. So they say to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are not born of sexual immorality in John 8 verse 41. We have one Father, even God. What is happening here? They affirm that they acknowledge no other God, but the Lord of heaven, the true God, is their Father. That's what they are saying. But guess what? In verse 44, Jesus says, no, you are not the children of God. You are not the sons of God. But what you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He is a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. Friends, the Jews were not peacemakers, as it is expected from the sons of God. Only the sons of God are peacemakers. The Jews were not peacemakers. Then they were not the sons of God. Let me give you an example. For instance, before Jesus, here in our text, in chapter number 5, here in the Sermon of the Mount, is a crowd of avengers and defenders. A crowd carrying weapons. We have a man like Simon the Zealot, who became an apostle. He was not a peacemaker. He was a rebel by nature. He was a revolutionist by training, kind of Malema style. He was always identified with the party of protests.
He was one of the people who carried a knife with him so that he would stab a Roman soldier because they were oppressed by these Romans. He carried a knife with him. But guess what? Jesus Christ saved him. He brought him to the kingdom of God. And some of us were like that. That is the crowd before Jesus Christ. Not peacemakers. Violent people. You also have John and his brother James, the sons of Zebedee. They were actually finally known as the sons of thunder. Why? If you mess around with them, you mess around with Jesus, or you mess around with that crowd, the 12 disciples, they actually want to call fire from heaven. They were called sons of thunder. A wrathful people. People who don't have patience with other people. And some of us were like that. You have people like Simon Peter. We know him. The apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man who carried a knife all his life. He was like a soldier, ready to kill someone, ready to kill his opponent, not to make peace, but to keep peace. That is the difference between the peacemakers and the world. The world wants to keep peace. That is what Ramaphosa is doing in Lesotho. He wants to keep peace. We make peace. Peter was not a peacemaker before he met the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to keep peace. He had a knife. You can see him snatching out the ear of another man at the arrest of Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. He had a knife with him. And some of us were like that. But here is Jesus Christ saving these people. Here is Jesus Christ saving us and then calling us peacemakers. Calling the very same violent, bad history, bad background people. Calling them to go out and make peace. Calling you and me without looking at our history, but saving us from that. That we may make peace. So my friends, I can add and say, the Jews were not a peaceable people. They were not people who spread peace out there. That is why Jesus had to have his own peacemakers. You remember what the Samaritan woman says in John chapter 4, verse 9, that the Jews did not associate with the Samaritans. There was no peace between them. There was no fellowship among them. There was no relationship with them. Only hatred and discrimination was happening. Some of us were like that. If you want to know, you want to see a practical example of discrimination, read Matthew chapter number 9, where Jesus Christ comes to a house of a man called Matthew, and the prostitutes and all the tax collectors come to him. They want to be saved. But those who claim to be good, those who claim to be the peacemakers of the time, they say, no, you cannot sit with sinners, discriminating other people. But friends, such people, all of us, have become peacemakers through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into this world as the Prince of Peace. So there is no way that a believing Jew will go on saying shalom that it does not mean anymore. There is no way that a believing Jew will only say shalom to his native people. There is no way that a believing Gentile, me and you, will refuse to give water to a Jew. There is no way that a black man and a white man can still stand in odds. But now the black and white can come together in Christ Jesus and call each other brothers and sisters without discrimination, without racism, and mean it. Not a friendship that is based on taking pictures together. True friendship, true brotherly kindness to one another is only found in Jesus Christ. So he's building this group of peacemakers. He's building us even this morning to go out there, to show that we are the sons of God. But notice, in saying we shall be called sons of God, it does not mean we are not sons of God right now, because we are sons of God right now. We are the adopted children of God. The Bible tells us that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Listen to the Apostle John in 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So we are the sons of God, and indeed we are.
Galatians 3 verse 26. For in Christ Jesus you are sons of God through faith. So why would Jesus say we shall be called sons of God, as if it's something that is in the future, if I say we are already sons of God? Friends, the emphasis on the fact that when he returns, the emphasis on the fact that on the last day, on the day of the Lord, on the day of judgment, our glorious adoption as sons will be publicly revealed. The whole world will know that indeed we are the children of God. And the verse I can bring to you out of many verses of scripture is Matthew 25, verse 31 to 34. The Bible says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. That does not mean he's not seated right down his glorious throne. But when he comes, when he returns, after he appears on the clouds, before him will gather all nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those of his who are on the right hand side of God, come, you blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. When he says we shall be called sons of God, it means we shall be revealed to the world. Because now we cannot be seen properly that we are the sons of God. Because even those who are not saved, they come sit and claim to be sons of God. We go with them to preach the gospel. We evangelize people instead of evangelizing them. They are mixed with the church. They are just a crowd following, making seats warm in the church. But in that day, the whole world will know who are the children of God. And I pray that all of us will be found on the right hand side of God, having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, having immersed ourselves through his blood in the presence of God, having confessed our sins and our names on the book of God, not on the book of works. Because he will say unto those on his left hand side, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, to the fires prepared for the devil and his angels. We shall be seen on that day. We are the children of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have a promise, therefore, my friends, that is inheritance in heaven. So, as we have this promise, we no longer live according to the flesh, which brings death. Flesh brings death. We no longer live according to the standards of this world. We live according to the standards of God. We no longer live a life of peace breaking and disobedience. We live a life of peace making and obedience unto God. We live a life of continual putting to death the deeds of the body through the power of the Holy Spirit. We follow in the steps of the Prince of Peace. We follow in the steps of God himself, who is the peacemaker, the ultimate peacemaker. We follow in his steps. We are led by the Spirit of God. As the Bible says, those who are the children, those who are the sons of God, are those who are led by the Spirit of God. So the message is that there is a day when we shall be revealed to the pretenders and the unbelievers of this world that we are the sons of God. Aren't you happy that one day your works of faith will finally be blessed, will finally be awarded in heaven? Aren't you blessed that you're sitting right here today, people making noise for you when you worship God, but one day you will have a smile in your face because you are a child? When I say the sons of God, it also means also the daughters of God, the children of God. That's why the King James will go on to say the children of God. We are the sons of God. That is what identifies peacemakers. They are the sons of God. Thirdly and last and very shortly, the peacemakers are identified by their understanding of the world. Their understanding of the circumstances that are happening right now. They are peacemakers, not peacekeepers. They understand that there is a great need out there. We cannot try to keep peace, but we need to make peace. They understand that the harvest is plentiful, but labors are few. They understand that as believers, we are called to pursue the ministry of peace among this community. We are called for the people of Olivet. We understand. Peacemakers need to understand the world around them. These are the people we are called to, as much as they irritate us sometimes. But we are called to these people. We need to understand the world that is around us. Just as Jesus went to the people dwelling in the darkness, so that they may see the great light. We've read that in Matthew chapter number 4. We need to bring peace to our township as well. There are broken, tormented minds out there. There are ripped apart homes out there. Ripped apart by murder. Ripped apart by rape. Ripped apart by domestic violence and child abuse. Needs peacemakers. The world is dying. There is false peace in the world. It needs peacemakers. So friends, the ministry of peacemaking is a very urgent ministry. The peacemakers understand that. So we need to stand in the midst of this culture and say unto them, be ye reconciled to God. There is a day that is approaching, and without peace with God, none shall stand. The Bible says there will be a great earthquake, and the sun will become black. The full moon will become like blood, and the stars of the sky will fall to the earth as the 50s are shaken. The sky will vanish like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, and the great ones, and the general, and the rich, and the powerful, and everyone, slave and free, will hide themselves in the caves among the rocks of those mountains, calling to the mountains and the rocks. Just imagine, calling to the mountains and the rocks, not calling to God. Fall upon us, hide us from the face of him who sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. That will be the cry. Why can't we cry today? Oh Lord, hide us from this wicked world. Put us under the shield of your grace, under the arm of God. Why can't we run to him today, waiting to run to the rocks and the mountain? But they will run to the rocks, and they will not find a place to hide. The Bible says it is because the great day of the wrath of God, the great day of their wrath has come. Who can stand? We need to point people, my friends, to the man who built us a bridge to God using only 3 nails and 2 pieces of wood. We need to point people to the old rugged cross. We need to point people to the man hanging on that cross, calling to the world to come to him. Because the day of the Lord is drawing near, my friend. So be peacemakers, not peace breakers. Your presence should not be destructive to others. Your words should not be poison to others. Your tongue should not fire up and break relationships and marriages. Devote your life to make peace by following the Prince of Peace, by carrying the message of reconciliation, not a message of destruction. Be obedient to enter into God's work of promoting peace. In other words, next time when we say there's an evangelical or evangelism outreach in this church, the whole church will come out. Why? Because we understand. We are the peacemakers. We understand. Without us, this world will vanish. Regardless of the fact that they look at us as a minority, but we are the peacemakers. We use our influence to promote peace and charity in the world. We don't aim to win arguments We aim to win people to Jesus Christ by the ministry of reconciliation, which is by our conduct and the word of God that we speak, by the fact that we are the children of God, by the fact that we understand the agency of our message. We promote peace in the private areas and in the public areas. Why? We are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Praise to God. Amen. Can I ask then, are you a son of God? Maybe you are sitting here, we are not the son of God, we are not a peacemaker. What should you do? Peter says, very simple, repent, be baptized. In other words, be made one with the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent. And as sons of God, go forth and tell. Go forth and make peace. God bless you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. You have loved us with an everlasting love of God. You have given us the blessing of eternal life, the ministry of reconciliation. You have called us your children. You have made known to us Jesus Christ. Now we have the joy of knowing Him as our Savior and Lord. Heavenly, ask our Lord that you will help us even this morning to live lives in such a way that the Lord Jesus Christ will be truly glorified each and every time and each and every day in everything that we do and say. Help us, Father, to honor your word. Help us, Heavenly Lord, to bring men unto you, to be peacemakers, to tell men that they need to have peace with you and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. I pray, Lord, that if there's someone among us today, that you may open his heart or her heart, that he may understand and receive and believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Church of God say Amen. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of eternal covenant, equip you with every good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.